let's have a little bit more fun. So this is something that I really enjoyed, and it really happened. I got paid to basically build a cube of National Football League sports statistics based on American football. This is back in 2006. So I was working for MSN at the time, and we were building a beta of for like the sports division that's partnered with Fox Sports. And so I was, you can think of me sort of as the business analyst that knew the business rules, knew the rules of football. And we hired a real BI consultant. He was very skilled, knew SSIS, SSAS. And let's see here. I feel like, is the microphone working all the time or dropping out for certain words? Okay. So we spent a lot of money on this. We spent about $50,000 on the professional consultant for several months of their time. And even more interesting is that we bought data from Stats Incorporated. Have you ever heard of Stats Incorporated? No? Neat. So Stats Incorporated is, at least for American sports, they're kind of like the data collectors for all American sports behind the scenes. So every website that you see about American football, basketball, things like that, is typically the stats on those pages are driven by Stats Incorporated, and they charge a lot of money for their services. So the business model for Stats Incorporated is they send people to every single professional sports game and even to college games. And these people sit in the press box next to the reporters and the commentators, and all they're doing is keying in data on every single play, every few seconds during a football game or baseball game, basketball game. And then after the games are over, in the middle of the week, American football games are on Sundays typically, in the middle of the week, they sit down back in their offices with videotapes of the games, and they watch the plays over and over and over again, analyzing for little minute details that they couldn't possibly capture watching the game live. They capture all of this data, then they turn around and they charge people like Microsoft $100,000 for 1 year of a beta license for the data. It is a very expensive data set. And fortunately, again, I got paid to negotiate that deal. So I was a kid in a candy store, because my whole reason even for landing on the Excel team years ago was that I was crunching sports statistics in Excel. So what a great job. I say that it was all very professional, meaning that it was very expensive. Now, the data actually, it was, like I said, $100,000 just for a one-year beta license. But it was not what I would call professional in terms of the data structure. So let's take a look at the schema diagram. And I'm going to show you what the schema diagram looks like to me after having spent a lot of time with it. And how many of you have heard of the Winchester House in California? Anyone? This house was built, so Winchester is the man behind the Winchester brand. He built the, designed and built, manufactured the Winchester rifles and handguns back in the 1800s and early 1900s. And his firearms were used to kill lots and lots of people, in addition to animals. In wars and other environments. And his widow, after he died, was, at least the story goes, she was so guilt-ridden by where her money came from and the source of it, that out of some weird fascination, she exorcised her demons by having construction crews show up at her house every day, and she'd give them brand new instructions every day in terms of how to build the next little wing of the house. And you can see from the aerial view here, it has no rhyme or reason. It goes in every possible direction. It's considered haunted. It's an incredibly interesting place. And it features all kinds of other things, which, again, all of this reminds me of the data of this Stats Incorporated database that we have to consume. Hey, what happened to my other pictures? Oh, here we go. So it has, this is an example of chimneys and spires and all kinds of other things. I don't even think all of the chimneys are connected to fireplaces. And skylights in the middle of the floor of some rooms, very interesting. Staircases that lead nowhere, that's incredibly familiar to me after messing around in this database. No attention at all to standards, you know, different fields, I mean, just a mess. And then, of course, closets and closets and attics full of things which aren't really used, but they're there. You have to discover that they're not used. And this is, as an Excel user, this is my plea to this audience, is don't do this to me. I spend as much time with this data trying to understand it, as I much more with that than I do with trying to build measures and build reports on it. Like the stuff like I showed you with the temperature mashup, that's the easy stuff. The schema is terrible. Now, here's what it really looks like. And you know, this looks good. I mean, when you see it like this, it sounds great. But these are all the dimension tables. I'd also like to point out that Stats Incorporated delivers this to us as a CSV file. Even this is the result of the consultant's work. But this is just sort of taking the CSV files and converting them to tables. And what I'm doing on my site with the Great Football Project, if you've seen it, is I'm taking the whole project that we went through with me providing the business requirements of football and the consultant providing the skill to build the database, build the cube, all the measures and dimensions. I'm taking all of that, starting from scratch with the database, the raw source database, and rebuilding many features of that original project in Power Pivot to see, you know, how far we can stretch it, how hard it is, where things are easier. Here are the fact tables. I've even had to chop a couple of them off here. You'll see here in a second that the fact event table, which is really the plays table from football, is actually considerably wider than this. Okay, so I'm not going to start from loading the data. And it's interesting. This demo I can't share. This data is, you know, still licensed only really for that beta usage. And even though it's old, I could probably get in trouble if it started leaking. So let's switch back and load. Okay, it's a blank database here, but the Power Pivot window contains all of those tables. It contains my Winchester home of data. One thing I should mention is that what's happening here is, remember, the cube file, the database, is stored inside the Excel file. So if I go back over here into this folder, let's take the, let's make a copy of this one. So that I don't ruin it for later. Okay, here's the copy. I'm going to rename this. The XLSX format is really just a zip format. So I'll make it into a zip file. How many people knew that it was a zip file? Hey, it's better than any audience before. Sweden for you. Okay, so here we are in just a directory structure. It's all the different parts. So if I go into the Excel folder, for instance, you'll see there's pivot cache, pivot tables. It's all the file structures in the Excel file. And then here's the custom data folder. And in here, you'll see a 62 megabyte item1.data. That's the database file. That's the cube. And if I drag that out onto the desktop and rename it .abf, it can be restored to analysis services. It really is a cube. So maybe should have done that from the beginning, make people feel a little bit more comfortable that it really is a cube. Okay. Let's go back up. Switch over here. Okay, so Here's a little bug that it collapses. Let's do that. Okay. Here I am in the plays table, and let's just take a little stroll. Remember, this is my fact table. Let's take a little stroll through the plays table and just watch the column headers go by. Look at what this is. I mean, there's so much information. Look at this. Like, you probably aren't familiar with American football rules, at least not most of you. But like, there are multiple different player roles on a single play. I personally like offensive formation before motion. offensive motion at snap, because, you know, there's a guy who's shifting sides on there. QB action, did the QB roll out? Did the QB drop back into the straight back from the line of scrimmage? You know, there was back there, there was yards after catch. And then, hey, why no catch? total play yards. Hey, that I like total play yards. That sounds good. That's one I can do something with that. There's a possibility of up to 5 broken tackles in a, you know, if there's never a sixth. That's a good thing. Anyway, you get the idea. Players that were beaten by defenders on the play that were supposed to be blocking them. Good stuff. Okay, so at the end here, I've already added a few calculated columns just as a means of me understanding the data. And so, for instance, passer role name. Well, I'm having to do the bad thing. I'm having to do sort of the VLOOKUP thing here using related. Just so I can understand my data. I can't parse the IDs when I'm down here trying to understand things. Now, if I had fewer columns and they were more sensible, maybe I wouldn't need this. But I need this just to figure out which columns are which, to be perfectly honest. The same thing here with play type name. I also had to invent something that I call play GUID, which is I couldn't tell what uniquely defined a play even in this table. So I had to create a concatenation here that did that. Now, I'm mostly complaining about stats incorporated data, which isn't all that relevant. But I mean, I think you've probably, quick side note, I've become a Twitter user. And I know that I've heard that Twitter is already yesterday's technology in Sweden. But the SQL Server community in the US is incredibly active on Twitter. Basically, like, if you're a big SQL Server expert in the U.S., you're basically on Twitter. And so I get to watch the SQL community complain all day long about the data that they encounter. Like, oh, look at this database. So I get the sense that there's a lot of this out there in the real world, too, not just in Stats Incorporated. Anyway, so what I want to do is one of the key measures in football is how many yards are amassed by various players in various roles. So in the simplest play, the quarterback gets the ball, hands it to someone else, and that someone else, you know, runs for their life down the field with people in front of them trying to flatten everyone in their path. So, and how far they make it before they're themselves knocked down, you know, is measured in yards, and that's recorded by the Stats Incorporated geek sitting up in the press box. And over a season, mediocre running backs that carry the ball like that will amass about 1,000 yards, like the best one ever, I think, in a season of 16 games recorded about 2,100 yards. And then people who throw the ball, passing yards, typically get about, the good ones, 4,000, 5,000, things like that. And I need a measure for my reports that reflects yards. So let's just do a rushing yards measure. And I'll show you a little quirk about this data, and maybe this is familiar, and maybe it's not. I'm going to sort the play GUID column, I guess I already have, and show you that here you see there are 3 records. And it's actually quite a variable number. Sometimes it's 5, sometimes it's 1. 3 records corresponding to a single play. So a single event in the NFL cannot be captured in one record. That's because there are different players involved in the play, and each player plays a different role. So there's the runner, there's the tackler, and we need to capture information about all of them, don't we? So it makes my life very interesting, because I'll show you what I'm talking about in a second. So let's look over here, and there is not a, we'll just take my word for it, there is not a rushing yards column. I want data that reflects how far this guy managed to carry the ball on that play before he was tackled. There is not a column that reflects that. There's only a yards column, which records the total amount of yards amassed on the play, no matter how it happened. So I'm going to need to be able to do some filtering in my measures. And in the last measure I created with the sales quantity per day, all I did was a ratio, an interesting ratio, but it was just a ratio. This is why I encourage you to get to know this new function called calculate. And for an Excel user, this is absolutely going to be a close personal friend moving forward. And there's a function called sumif in Excel, and there's also productif and maxif and every possible, well, actually not every possible combination, which is one of the problems. Calculate is basically a function that performs an aggregation and then applies any number of conditions against that. So basically, I showed you before how we filter before we perform the aggregation. Calculate lets you specify your own filters, your own overrides. You can add to the filter sort of permanent clauses. You can also override and say, for this particular field, I don't care what the filter was in the pivot table. I always want all of these. So you can see maybe that'd be useful for things like percentage of total measures and percentage of all time and things like that. But the simplest way to use calculate is to just take an aggregate over a column and then specify some other criteria where, you know, this column is equal to that and another column is equal to something else or greater than something else. And basically every measure that I create in this football database, because of this multi-record per event problem, every measure I create involves the calculate function, because I need criteria. And you might not need that in every database, but you certainly do in this one. Okay. Here I am, blank spreadsheet. So let's do pivot table, do a single pivot table again. And you can take a look at how many tables. I have a lot more tables here. This clean players table is something that I had to clean myself in Excel, so that the thing I showed you earlier where I can paste the table into Excel and then I can clean it up in Excel and then link it back in, well, that's how this clean players came to be, because I had all kinds of players with no names from stats. Again, a wonderful data quality thing. As a side note, with our solution, we found basically one a week, a bug in Stats Incorporated data that you can only really find with BI tools. No sort of transactional website had ever found these bugs, but with a pivot table, you can find them. They loved us. Okay, so up here is the plays table, and let's just start with yards. There we go. So if you ever wanted to know the sum total of all yards ever amassed in the NFL over a 14-year period across every single role, there's your answer. It's like the distance to the moon or something. Now let's take that and break it out by players, this full name. And some very interesting things jump out right away. Now, again, I know football really well, and I know a lot of these names. So think of me as being the business user. And this consultant, a great guy, I really liked him, he knew nothing about football. So basically my job was to teach the consultant about football for 3 months. And it's, I understand it, but that doesn't mean I understand how to explain it. And so I got to learn a lot of these things that I think I understand now why cube projects take a long time. It's not necessarily that it takes a long time to write the code. It takes a long time to write the right code, to know what the right requirements are. That's been a very interesting comparison for me. So look at this. Aaron Gibson, he has a lifetime career total of minus 272 yards. Now, I happen to know that Aaron Gibson is a defensive player, and so when he's involved in stopping a play, he's probably being recorded as tackling someone before they've even made it back to the original line. So his career total, it kind of makes sense that he tackles people behind the line of scrimmage. But some other people are really kind of crazy. I don't even know who Aaron Elling is with 10,900. Must be a kicker. So in football, oddly enough, kicking the ball with your foot is sort of an auxiliary play that we don't really care too much about. So that's interesting. So I've got all kinds of reasons to... I simply cannot use the yards column by itself. I want to do rushing yards. Remember, just yards that were amassed by someone carrying it and getting clobbered. So let's create a new measure. Again, I want my table, the home table, to be the fact table, which is my plays table. If I can find that in this list. Okay, let's just call it rushing yards. All right, what's the formula? Well, it's calculate. That's why I introduced it. And it is sum of plays yards. Why is it not? Oh. Sum plays. What's the quotes? Yards. Okay. And then what are my filters? It took me about 3 hours, maybe less, to figure out what my filters should be. But as I did this, and this, I did this probably 2 months ago, maybe less, I suddenly had all these memories flowing back about going through this exact same process with the consultant, sending him back, saying, no, that's not right. I'd bring up ESPN.com, I'd compare it and say, no, it's wrong. And I'd give him a theory as to why, or I'd drill way down deep in the data and tell him exactly why. And we'd go back and forth like this. It would take a week. It took us a week to get the rushing yards measure correct, one measure. Now, measures got a little faster after that. But I got a week down to 3 hours. And it's not because I was smarter than the consultant or that the consultant wasn't very good. It's that I was able to iterate inside my own head and verify my data and not even have to really communicate in language to another human being. It speeds things up quite a bit. So what are my filters? Well, I'm going to cheat is what I'm going to do. I'm going to come over here. And I have my filters. So it's from the plays table. Play type name. Remember, I had to add that. It was an ID before. Run-run. Let's just copy that. And we don't need the plays here, but we'll add it anyway. Because if you get in the habit of not adding it, sooner or later you run into the place where it's required, and then you'll wonder why. So that was plays type equals run-run. Let's just see how that works. This should filter out all of the other plays, like kicking plays, passing plays. Let's check the formula. All right. So again, we're going and we're defining the measure with this formula. Question? It is not case sensitive, which is good. So we defined the measure rushing yards in the cube. And then we told Excel to add it to the report. Let's get sum of yards out of there. Okay, so at this point I went and I looked at these numbers, and I saw some a lot of suspicious things, like I was seeing players like, for instance, Adalius Thomas. I know that person. That's a defensive player. That person has never carried the ball once. So again, this is because the defensive player, this guy is basically, over the course of his career, tackled people on plays that amass a grand total of 530 yards. Okay, so I need to get the defenders out of this, and that's where the second filter comes in. I can come over here. Oh, one thing I should show is that now in the plays table, the measure has been added to the bottom of the plays table. So measures are always going to appear associated with their home table, and they'll always be at the end of the field list. If you're like me and you're looking for them, or if you're like Jocelyn and you're writing an add-in for Power Pivot, you'll find these measures defined in the MDX script parameter. You won't find them in the measures collection if you're using AMO. So give you a little tip, save you some time, a couple hours. I need to add that other filter. So I can edit this measure from here. I could also edit it by right-clicking there as well. Let's add one more condition. And I want the role. So I want to make sure that I'm only amassing rows and aggregating rows where it's that row is talking about the player who actually was carrying the ball, not the people that tackled or blocked for him or anything like that. And again, because the values are not necessarily something I remember, let's do this. So the primary role name is a runner. Does that make sense? Yes. The filter statement can be based on any table. So you can filter to dates. You can do things like write a growth since 1990 measure if you wanted. Because one term would be filtered to 1990 always, and then the other would be left floating. It's very much intended that you can use other tables other than the home table, the fact table. All right, let's check this formula. Now that looks more like it. And I even started to put things like, to double check it, I broke things out by week and by year. Look at all these fields, day, night code, so I can do, I can split. This is amazing. I mean, as a separate topic, I was really disappointed in how little interest the average football fan had in this project. in fact, demographically, when we did focus groups, the people who were on average much more interested were women. The theory was anyway that they go to work every day just like everyone else and listen to all the men talk about football, and they all talk from the gut. It's amazing how little you really know about football until you look at the numbers. So it gave them sort of a leg up, but I couldn't really get the average male sports fan or even the average male Microsoft sports fan intrigued enough to start slicing and dicing with this, as odd as that is. So let's do week number on rows. And this gave me a way, and I went ahead and I also added year so that I could go to ESPN and I could go game by game and compare stats at that aggregate level and see. And when I actually went and looked this time after this third or fourth iteration and saw that they matched perfectly, down to the individual number, shouldn't be too surprising, right? Because ESPN's working with the same, horrible data set than I am. But it was really quite inspiring. I've lived so long in the shadow of people who create measures and MDX and build cubes and things like that. And now I actually had a measure that was sliceable by any number of 15, 16 different dimensions and accurately. It was only one measure, but it felt good to me. Okay, any questions about calculate in that example? Because I really think that calculate will probably account for half or maybe more of all interesting measures built using DAX. It really is the sort of the foundation function, if you will. It's you know, in some ways I could have started with calculate before I did the ratio. So it's a good place to make sure that everyone understands. Everything good? It's also a good place to take a drink. Okay, let's go back to PowerPoint. Cube formulas. Who knows what cube formulas are? Really? Come on. Awesome. So this is something that really this audience, I'm sad that we haven't gotten the word out as well, because cube formulas were aimed at people such as yourselves, or at least people that are close to you. For an Excel user, this is also a bit of a eureka moment, because it's something that they couldn't do. Cube formulas, in a nutshell, I'm going to show you a demo, but cube formulas are an alternative to pivot tables and pivot charts for displaying OLAP data in Excel. It's another reporting technology, you know, for laying out and customizing reports. Okay, so I have another workbook that already has a really good pivot table in it, so I'm going to go ahead and load that one up. You know, pivot tables are great in that they're very quick to manipulate, they don't require a lot of effort to get into a state that probably suits 95%, maybe 90% of desired scenarios. But data connections, okay, good. But they're not very flexible. You can't insert rows in the middle of them. You can't insert columns in the middle of them. And they're an object, and in order to do all of those fancy things quickly, they have to maintain some semblance of integrity. They're not individual pieces to be moved around. You also can't do asymmetric things, at least not until 2010. You can't do asymmetric things where you show actuals for some columns and of a measure and then projected for others, things of that sort. So here's a pivot table, and here's the button that I think only about six or seven of you have ever seen or used. It's on the pivot table options dialog. It's under the OLAP tools button, which, you know, is screaming, you know, BI expert, click here. And convert to formulas. So this pivot table is now being converted to a set of formulas that on a cell-by-cell basis return exactly the same results as the pivot table. And I'll show you what these functions look like here in a second. It's actually slower to convert than it is to execute. Okay. So these now are individual formulas, and I can do anything with these that I could do with regular formulas in regular cells. Notice that they still respect slicers. So I haven't lost that aspect of being a pivot table. It was also pointed out, I don't have a good example here, slicers do filter each other. I forgot to mention that. So as I make selections here, if I didn't have any night games in week 21, it would filter, and I see these grayed out. I'm actually suspicious. I don't think there were any night games in week 21. That's like, there's only one game played in week 21. Okay, I can take this Priest Holmes guy, who's actually the person I've been using a lot to validate my data. And I can just, you know, I can move him anywhere. I could paste him over here if I want. I don't know why I would do that, but I can. I also can do the things I talked about. I can insert rows and columns. And I can format my report however I want. I can also parameterize. Let me skip ahead. I've got another one that I want to show you. And then I'll come back to this one. Let's see here. Yeah.
Okay.
So this is a finished version of that same report. And it hasn't loaded yet, so it's going to... Or has it? Interesting. Okay, so this is this, again, it's the same sort of report, but it's also, it's sorting. So you notice that the person at the top of the list is changing. So it's sorting by performance. It's also parameterized. I got these cells here where I can say, if you're like me and you play this wonderfully addictive game called fantasy football that assigns point values to different events in the game, different scoring systems reward things differently. So let's say we want to reward rush yards double, so 1 point for every 5 rush yards instead of for every 10. You see over here the fantasy points column updates, and a new guy jumps to the top. So this is a power pivot report that is it's based on power pivot data. It respects slicers, it respects parameters, end-user provided parameters, and resorts the top 20 with a sort of an arbitrary break after the top 10 in each scenario. And this is sort of the, in a way, sort of like the leading edge of what you can do with cube formulas. So how did I do this? I wanted to show you sort of where I was heading up front, give you a better sense of it. So back over here, I've got this, and you see that I won't bore you with the formatting. You know, I can do that later. Let's look at these formulas. So let's start with this guy, cube member. So this is a function in Excel. It's been in Excel since 2007. It is not a DAX function because it's running in the Excel calc engine. And cube member does probably what you think it does. It goes and it fetches a single member from the cube, and it sort of squirts it into that cell. Now, there's a lot of properties of that member that can't really be displayed in a cell. We display the caption, but sort of in real metadata behind the cell, which you can't see, it stores the MDX unique name of that member. So this is fetching Priest Holmes, and wherever I put this formula, it will always fetch Priest Holmes. Over here, I have another cube member, and this one's fetching the measure rushing yards. That's what I added to my pivot table before. Just the caption is being displayed, but metadata is being stored behind. And the reason we have both of those is that then we do cube value, the other function. If I put this in edit mode, you'll see that it references over here the cube member cell and the other cube member cell for the measure. And it's that intersection of the two that's returned to the cell. Does that make sense? That's, again, just sort of like regular pivot table type of stuff, but happening in formulas rather than in an object. Now, I can make this parameterized. I think it's pretty easy to see how I would do it. I can just write a formula that says, you know, equals rushing yards times, I can give another cell location where that little 10-point thing is and all that kind of stuff. But how do I sort this? This is where there's another function, pair of functions that you should see. So if you're just looking for static layouts where you control the sort order yourself, cube values, cube member is great. But there's another one. Hold on. I guess I did a better job of this. Here we go. Okay. Now, I'm going to show you some Excel alchemy. I'm going to show you two other cube functions that I want you to be aware of, just so you remember later that they exist. I don't think you need to follow every detail of this and remember exactly what I did. Just know that it's possible, and also know that, you know, Excel wizards in your office actually can do some pretty interesting things. So again, just sort of follow along for amusement value. You don't have to. There's not going to be a quiz on this. Anyway, cube set. It's another function. Again, returns a set, and you'll see here that I'm taking the clean players table, the full name column, getting all of the children. That's the set that I'm fetching. I can specify my own caption, which is what appears in the cell. Let's see here. Sort order, so 2 is descending. And then I'm sorting it by the rushing yards measure. So the set that I'm pulling back is sorted by a rushing yards measure. So I'm getting the most relevant running back players returned, you know, the highest number of rushing yards at the top. So that's my set, and it just goes into that cell. And if you only had cube set, well, that'd be pretty worthless because you really can't do anything with it while it sits like that. So I've labeled these in steps because I had to take, again, this is Excel alchemy. Over here is cube ranked member. That's sort of much like cube value, cube set sort of, cube member form a pair. Cube ranked member and cube set form a pair. And cube ranked member's only purpose is to fetch members out of sets. That's all it does. And by the way, this sandbox thing you're seeing is just the name of the connection in Excel, the database connection. And when we started out with Power Pivot, we were still calling it Gemini, we called the databases sandboxes. I don't actually know if sandbox is going to be a shipping string or not, but it's certainly still here in the beta. So I'm fetching from that cell the cell set. And I'm. This is a trick. So row A1 is, I'm sorry, row of A2 will return 2. That's all it does. It's just a sneaky way in Excel. Because remember, in Excel, iteration, you know, like for loops, things like that, are actually performed by filling down a column. So this one is A3. So all we're saying is give me the second member of the set here. Give me the third member of the set here. So I can write the formula once and then fill it down. And I only want the second member of the set because the first member of the set is all of them. It's the grand total of all players' rushing yards, which of course is always first. How about that? That's a good place for me to stop and look at you blankly and say, how's that going? Huh? Okay. Anyway, so I get this. Now I get a sorted list by rushing yards of the running backs in the NFL. And I can reference these cells just like I reference cube member cells in the simple report. So here I go to step 3. Now we're talking. Okay. This is where things get interesting. Basically, if this if error thing is there, because well, when there isn't any data for this player in those conditions, it'll often return NA. And that's an error. I just want to treat that as a zero. I'm just casting nulls to zeros so that I can do math. That's all that does. And then you see that the slicer is referenced in here, slicer day night name. That's just the way that this function. Yes.
10 minutes.
10 minutes, really? Wow.
Okay.
Okay. Well, this will be good. This is easy to wrap up in 10 minutes. You see that the slicer is named in here, and that's how this. This value function knows to respect the slicers. And then you see that I multiply by a cell, and that's just one of those parameter cells on the other side. So then I just sum up these three terms. There's nothing terribly complicated there. It just looks nasty. And that's what it is to be an Excel programmer, let's call it. Okay, so this is just giving me back numbers. This is the real Excel trick. This is the thing that I actually had to ask for some help on, and I got some of the best and brightest to help me with this. So one thing to keep in mind is that this cube set function, it does not, when it ranks members from one to n, when you're doing that sort order thing, it doesn't respect slicers all that well. Like it really is not reliable when it comes to slicers. It really is just filtering by the grand total. And so in order to get a really, truly reliable sort, I have to do that in Excel and not in MDX, not in kubequery. And that's what this whole background sheet is about. I'm here in step 3. I'm fetching a number based on the parameters and based on the slicers. Step 4, believe it or not, I'm introducing a random number. And that's just to break ties because I have to go and I add that random number to their real score. Okay, remember, you don't have to follow this completely. It's just for amusement value. I add that number to their real score. And then, over here in step 6, I am taking, this is where I'm ranking. This is the large function is how Excel does ranking out of a set. So I can get the number one ranked member out of the set defined by the range I referenced over there. And that's 1770.98. But I don't know what player that is. I only know the number. So then, in step 7, I have to go and find that player based on his number from this other range over here. And remember, the reason I added the random number is so I didn't have ties. So I won't find the wrong player when they actually have the same value. And then step 8, I subtract that random value back off. It reminds me of like differential equations. You translate your problem into another language where it's easier to solve it, and then you translate it back. And then lastly, I start to construct that player's name, their MDX name, back just out of strings. We're really just concatenating raw strings with this. And then in the finished report, I use that. I don't need to really belabor it too much. I'm just grabbing numbers from the from that background sheet, and this is I'm using CubeMember, and I'm grabbing that background J3 cell. That's their MDX name being passed in there. That is very typical Excel work. Not necessary in all cases, but I did this specifically to sort of show exactly what the capabilities, how far you could take cube formulas. You don't need to do all of this by any stretch. It was almost like it was a challenge to myself how far we could take it. Okay, so we have a break coming up in a couple of minutes. We had a question lingering from last time. Do we want to? Okay. Okay, so the question is, are there statistical functions in DAX? And I'll have to go check. I'm not 100% sure I know we're adding some functions, but I don't know what we're adding. So it's not in November CTP, then it's not here either. I bringing up the list of functions isn't going to help. I know that, for instance, standard deviation didn't make it. I'll show you a little bit later the Power Pivot FAQ, and that, for instance, one of the first questions we got was, how do you do standard deviation if you don't have a standard deviation function? So, someone picked up a math book, and there's an expression out there that you can use to basically derive your own standard deviation. I definitely feel the lack of some of these functions. Like, if I had a rank function in DAX, for instance, that would allow me to, see who the number one, what's this person's rank at in a particular position? What's the store's rank at sales under particular conditions and things like that? There are some workarounds for it. I mean, the way to look at DAX is that it's going to evolve for a long time. We're going to be adding functions to it for a long time. The list of functions we plan to do in V1 was probably twice as long as what we actually ended up having time for. If you think about things like calculate, there's also a whole suite of time navigation functions, like 39 time navigation functions, like prior period and things like that. Those are all in there. So it definitely doesn't have everything yet. It's not complete. But what it does have, at least from an Excel user's perspective, is infinitely more power than what they had in pivot tables before. So, you compare it to MDX, it's never gonna do everything that MDX can do. There's more questions up front, I thought. Okay.
One question. The slicers, can you apply slicers also to cubes, or is it only in data that you have in the Excel sheet?
So the question is, are slicers only usable with cubes, or can they also? I can answer that very simply. Slicers are usable with any pivot table or any pivot chart, no matter where the data comes from. So it's an Excel feature. The analysis services team sent the developers and testers over to Excel to build the feature because we wanted it so badly. So it is sort of, we talk about it as if it's a Power Pivot feature, but no, it is a an Excel built-in feature. And everything that I'm doing here is all working against OLAP. So this is all of these examples I've been showing you are really examples of slicers working against OLAP sources and not examples of slicers working against native Excel pivot tables. But I could show that, and that also works. Can you combine data from an OLAP cube with data that's in your Excel sheet? The answer is yes. There's at least two ways to do it. The first one is you can query analysis services as a data source, essentially like it was, well, especially with the new the query tool that's coming in after CTP3. So you pull back basically flat tables of data from analysis services, and those become tables in your Power Pivot window, just like any other tables. And we don't really have any memory of where they came from in terms of different structure. We just think it's a table. And then you can, like I showed you with temperature mashup, you can combine it with anything else. Another way to do it is, in essence, sort of what I did here, is I have data in my spreadsheet that's being combined with data from OLAP via Excel formulas. But I think maybe the question you're asking is something different, which is, can I use these cells here, for instance, in measures? And if that's your question, then the answer is no. The analysis services engine, the calc engine, is completely separate from the Excel calc engine. They don't have any dependency chain between them. You know, we don't even get notified if an Excel value changes. Where the Power Pivot engine is still very much a query engine. As far as Excel is concerned, where they're not integrated into our calc chain. It'd be very difficult to integrate the two calc chains in any future release, too, because you couldn't do it without, I think, massive modifications to both of them, and therefore compatibility problems with all your existing solutions. So it might happen someday, but I wouldn't bet on it. I would probably bet against it.